of a mother meant more to her than everything she's known. Standing at the crossroads, Ruth knew the pathway she would choose to go. She looked into Naomi's tear-filled eyes and said the words that forever changed her life. Wherever you are, no matter how far the road may take me, I will follow you. Follow you. To have a love of a savior meant more to him than everything he's known. Standing at the shoreline, Peter knew the time had come to leave his boat. Jesus said, "Now you fish for me." Peter left his nets behind and followed him and said, "Wherever you are, no matter how far the road may take me, I will follow you. I've made up my mind, I'll walk close behind. Wherever you go, I will follow." This is where I stand. I surrender all I am to you, Lord. I am yours, Jesus. Wherever you are, no matter how far the road may take me, I will follow you. I've made up my mind.
Have your Bibles this morning, the book of Romans, chapter number 3. Amen. Romans, chapter number 3. Amen. I'm going to read a verse, Romans chapter number 3, and verse number 23. Romans chapter 3, and verse number 23, it tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, this time, and ask you now to help us this morning that we might be an able minister of the Word of God. I pray that you would touch every heart, that you would, Father, open up our ears and our hearts to hear and receive the Word of God. And you would encourage and help your people this morning, I pray. And Father, just do the work that's needed in every heart and every life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been looking at themes in the Bible, in Scripture, and we've looked at some different themes. We began with looking at Jesus being the main theme, amen, from cover to cover in Scripture. Then we looked at just mankind and where we are, where we're going, amen, what's going to happen to mankind. We looked last week at the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. And this morning, I want us to look for a few minutes at this thing called sin. We see it throughout Scripture. It was introduced quite early in the beginning, and we see it run throughout Scripture, and we see the effects of sin. We see it today. The Bible even speaks about creation itself groans. Amen. What's it groan? It's groaning because of sin. It's groaning, awaiting that day of redemption when God's going to purge everything. Amen. And going to make all things new. But sin. Now, some folks may say of sin that, well, it's kind of just a figment of your imagination, that there's no such thing as sin, because, you know, really, some folks want, is there really any right or wrong? Amen. Yes, there is. There really is. There is a right and there is a wrong. Amen. And so when we look at the scriptural teaching of sin, it is any want or any lack of conformity to the character of God. Oh my goodness. Oh me. Any lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be in our actions, in our disposition, I mean, just it's sin. I mean, we in trouble. I mean, we in trouble. Well, amen. I tell you what, and I know this is getting ahead of things here a little bit, but I just want to tell you, thank God that we see and we hear of people, you know, that are getting sick and different ones. We headed into wintertime. And wintertime comes and, you know, you hear, well, boy, the flu's going around. Everybody's catching it. We hear other things a lot worse. You know, we hear that they've got cancer. I know when they told Pam and she went through that, it's just, it's not what we want to hear. We have those that live to be what we consider really old and others that die a lot younger. We get different things, and well, I hope I don't ever have to deal with that, but I'm going to tell you this. See, the verse that we read said about this sin thing, it said we've all got it. We've all got it. You've got it, I've got it, amen, they've got it, he's got it, she's got it. It don't matter where you're from, amen, don't matter what you have, what you don't have, amen, you have got sin. The Bible tells us, and it gives us some illustrations of sin in the form of, we see the Ten Commandments and some of the thou shalt nots and so forth. But it also tells us about sin, what David said about sin in Psalm chapter 51. When he had sinned, he said this in Psalm chapter number 51 in verse number 4. David said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Well, you say, well, what about Uriah? What about Bathsheba? Well, I mean, his sin affected them. It harmed them. It was, in a sense, against them. But David knew at its core what he had done. He had sinned against God. Amen. God had set forth the standard, and amen, David had broke the commandment and he had sinned. And so he prays unto God when he's repentant, because he said, it's against you that I have sinned. That's why in Scripture we see that it is a breaking of the conformity to the character of God. And David certainly did. And every one of us, we certainly have. And so he said, against God, I have sinned and done this thing. Now, when we look at sin, there's a few things we want to just see this morning. But our text verse speaks to us of this personal sin. Personal sin. You know, it's easy for us, a lot easier for us, to look and, did you see what they did? Did you see them? It's a lot easier for me to see the fault and the sin in other people than it is to see it in myself. Amen. And that's why God gives us the Word of God. Amen. To act for us as a mirror. Amen. I can promise you that if I'd have went to the mirror this morning and would have looked into the mirror and saw that I had toothpaste that had run down on my chin that I didn't wash off, I wouldn't have just come on to church with it on there. I'd have went in there and we'd have cleaned up. And see, that's what the Word of God does for us. It lets us to look in there and it lets us see, am I living in conformity to the Word of God? Is the Word of God my guide? Amen. Is God pleased? Am I walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh? The Bible speaks here of the personal sins. Anything that when we don't conform to God's ways, and many times, here's the thing about our personal sins. Most of the time, we are familiar. We recognize and we know about our own sins. We're conscious of our personal sins that we do. Sometimes, you know, because we have done things, we said, well, I hope nobody else watching. We don't want nobody else to see. But amen, but God sees. And when we think about personal sins, we're speaking as it relates to the commandments of God's in Scripture. And many times it has to do with either disobedience or just outright rebellion against God. Because see, the Bible even tells us, you know what, if we know to do right, but we don't do it. Yeah. What does it say? It says that it is sin. And so it is our personal sin. And we see through Scripture, we spoke of David a while ago and the confession that he made in Psalm 51. I mean, that was his personal sin. And it was his sin that I honestly believe, and I've told y'all this many times, that if you had told David 6 months before he was going to find himself where he did, amen, he would have said there is no way. Amen. But amen, but he did. Because first thing that happened is, amen, and it happens to us, he wound up somewhere he didn't have no business being. And amen, one thing led to another. And sin. And then David had to deal with the consequences of sin. Now, when we look in the Old Testament, there's at least 8 different words that's used in the Old Testament for sin. And in the New Testament, we've got probably about at least 12 different words that's used for sin. But it is a lack of conformity to the character of God. And what sin for us is, it said, for all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. We mentioned when we spoke about man back a couple of weeks ago that we said that God, we are to be God's representatives on this earth. Amen. Adam in the garden, he was to represent God, and amen, he failed. And guess what? We've not been very good representatives of God in this world. But we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And when we sin, what have we done? Sin is missing the mark. And that's put in archer's terms. As the archer, you know, you miss the mark. Now, I'll give you just a quick illustration and we'll move on. But we as church people, Christian folks, God help us. Because sometimes we think we've figured out, we know how to have church. We know what to do. We know how to cross the I's and dot the T's and those kind of things. And sometimes when we go along because we just got, and we think that because we're Christian, because we go to church, that, you know, we'll be all right. We're not going to miss the mark. But I'm going to use my cousin for an illustration. And this has been several years ago, but he come up and he was getting ready to bow hunt. My brother was bow hunting some, and they had put up a little stand, 16-foot ladder stand, homemade on one of them big pine trees in Daddy's front yard. And they'd climb up on that thing, and they'd stand there, you know, all morning, and they'd practice and practice. And y'all know what the old tin pie plate, you know, it ain't about that big around. And he had that thing setting off out yonder, you know, at 25 yards. And just, I mean, he was drilling it. Just every shot. Every one that he put in there, he was drilling. I mean, he was grouping them in a little 6-inch circle at 25 yards. He could hit the mark. And he went deer hunting. And that same evening, he was sitting up there in the stand. Brother Robert, when that buck walked out, he said, "I got him." Just what he'd been waiting for. And he drew that thing back, and he was, you know, and you know how far away he was? He was sitting out there about between 20 and 25 yards. And let me tell you, he ain't cut a hair. Amen. He missed. He come home, and he wondered, how in the world could I miss? Let me tell you, there's been some things in my life, and I believe that David, boy, when it come time for him, David could have looked at his life and he said, "How in the world could I have done what I done? How is it possible that I have fell into such a personal sin? How is it that God is having to deal with me because of my sin?" And so we see the personal sins, and listen, it cost us. It always does. It costs us. I mean, the wages of sin is death, and sin is costly. But if we turn over just a page or two there in Romans, to Romans chapter 5, we find in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 19, Romans chapter 5 and 19, it says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." By the disobedience, by one man's disobedience, that one man is speaking here is Adam. And many were made sinners. We hear speak of sin in mankind, and we hear this term, our sin nature. And see, I've already said a while ago, we've all got it. We all have it. And this is another major aspect of sin as revealed in the Bible, and that is that Adam's own initial sin caused him to fall, and he became a different person. I said when we was looking at man, I don't know exactly how long, I don't know how many times God had come walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and amen, Adam had never, I mean, he just had perfect fellowship with God. But amen, after sin, that changed. He went and he hid. He went to hide. And he became different. He became depraved and degenerate in his nature. And what happened was he became where his offspring, the only thing that was gonna that he could produce was children like himself. And so every child of Adam was born with that sin nature, prone to sin. I mentioned the other day, amen, we don't have to teach our children how to do wrong. We have to teach them how to do right. Because they've got that sin nature. It's just in, no matter how cute and how precious we think they are, the sin nature is there. And even though it tells us, listen, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "For in that he died," talking about Jesus, "he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Even though that on the cross, amen, Christ has judged that sin nature, we still have to deal with it. It's not been eradicated yet in this life. But see, for us as a Christian, amen, just because we have a sin nature, I mentioned a while ago about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 4, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, by Christ's death and by His life, if we accepted Him, if the Spirit of God lives within us, amen, then we're His, and we have, amen, the ability to overcome this old flesh. We don't have to succumb to its ways if we will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Amen. but ever be mindful, ever recognize that we have a sin nature. We have. It's why Jesus told Peter, "Peter, I know the spirit is willing." And of course, I said, "You know, it just all depends on how you look at what Jesus was telling him. Your flesh is weak, and what happens is we find that that weakness of the flesh is it's weak to do the things of God. Amen. It's strong to sin." Boy, it's strong. It's how come we have to be careful as Christians when we mingle, when we go around other folks. God help us, there's a fine line sometimes about having our friends. We witness and we minister. But see, there is within us still a sin nature. And you know what we have to watch out for? Because if you take a magnet and it gets around metal, what does it do? It's attracted to it. There's a draw, there's a pull. Amen. And if you get a strong enough magnet and you get close enough to something, it'll jump out of your hand and it'll connect. Well, see, we've all, in a sense, we've all got that magnet. We've all still got that sin nature. Therefore, we have to be careful. Amen. The Bible, what does it tell us about sin? It tells us to avoid the very what? Appearance. Yeah. Not just sin, but if it appears like it, avoid. Yeah. Amen. To stay, because it matters. Because we still, and in Scripture, we have that sin nature. Now, we have this depravity. It does not mean that every man is as bad as they possibly could be. Some are really bad. Boy, some have, boy, their conscience has been seared like a hot iron. But it touches all parts of our life. There's no part of the human being that it does not touch. Our will, our conscience, our intellect, amen, all of these things, our hearts have been touched with this sin nature and with this depravity. And so we have to be on guard. We have to guard our hearts because from the heart comes the issues of life. And we all have a sin nature. And of course, the Bible, it speaks to us of that sin nature. But it also, there's another verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Romans 5 and 12. It tells us, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We see sin is presented in Scripture as imputed or reckoned to our account. Where did death come from? See, that was not in the human vocabulary before Adam sinned. But it entered because he sinned. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered." Amen. It found its way in. And it came in and it didn't, if we can use this word, it infected the whole race. It came. And we've all died. It's been imputed, reckoned to our account. Now, I mean, some folks say, "Well, you know, if I'd have been Adam, I would." No. No. And see, we've all sinned. That was our text. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this imputation of sin to Adam's race is on which fact they built the doctrine of original sin. But then in Scripture we see the imputation of sin to the sin of man to Christ. Our sins were imputed to Him. Amen. Because see, the Bible says about Jesus, it tells, you know how much sin He had? Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him at all." Now, if I were to ask your spouse or your brothers or your sisters or your children or your parents, has your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, have they got any faults?
Don't ask.
Don't ask. There you go. Don't ask. Because, amen, we could see that we've got faults. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know. But see, it's hard for us to imagine. Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him at all." At all. don't find any fault. But yet, our sins were imputed unto Christ. Amen. And then we see the imputation of the righteousness of God to those who believe on Christ, on which fact the doctrine of justification is based. Amen. What do we believe is going to get us to heaven? One thing. Jesus. That's it. Jesus. His righteousness. What He has done. On the cross, He took my place. And amen. And if we trust Him, if we believe Him, then amen, His righteousness is imputed unto us. And amen, we're reckoned to be righteous because we trust Him, because we have obeyed, amen, the Word of God. And we can become, amen, what we're not. Righteous. So we see these things about sin. And then finally, because of the imputation of sin and because of Adam's sin, and we talk about we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we see in this, we see the resulting judicial state of sin upon the entire race. You see, because the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter number 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. You see, the whole race is under sin. Jews and Gentiles, we're all under sin. And to be under sin is to be divinely reckoned to have no merit in ourselves. We don't have in ourselves, we don't have any reason to tell God that I should have access to heaven. None. We're all under sin because we've all sinned. And how many times do we have to sin to be a sinner? Just one time. And we're what? We're guilty. We're guilty. And so, amen, we're all under sin without any merit, but thank God, because of Jesus Christ, salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. I said before, we've all got sin. We've all are sinners. I'm thankful this morning, amen, that we don't all have cancer. Some of us have had to deal with it. Some's dealing with it, amen, today. Amen, they're looking for cures. They're trying to do, but amen. But we've all got sin. We've all been, we're all sold under sin. But amen, there's a remedy. There's a cure. Amen. Because Jesus came. The Bible said that, amen, He shed His life's blood on the cross of Calvary to redeem us, to buy us back, to claim us for His own, and it is by the richness of His grace, amen, that we can stand this morning and be free from the sentence of death because Jesus took our place as He took your place. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Have we trusted Christ? Because when we look at the Bible, it clearly indicates to us the devastation of the effects of sin. And God help us this morning. Because we don't really see just how bad it can be. But listen to this as we close this morning. It says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7. And it's speaking here about the harlot. But we can relate this to sin and how sin works and how it does. because it paints a pretty picture. But it says in verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 7, with her much fair speech, she calleth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forces him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stock, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. God asks the nation of Israel, why will you perish? You see, sin has a way of disguising, painting pretty pictures until it's too late. When we get ready to catch something, you know what we do? I like to go fishing. I may put a cricket on the hook. I may put a worm on the hook. I may use something that's just completely artificial. And put one of those little crappy jigs on there and throw that thing out there and just bring it across and bring it across slowly. And I don't know, I can't explain it to you. I don't really know what it is. When I'm sitting there watching, that line's got a little bend in it, and I'm just slow retrieving, and all of a sudden that line tightens up and I feel just the slightest little bump. And that crappie thinks that I've got me a free meal, and I've set the hook. And he turns out he's dinner. You see, that's what sin does. It's the trap, it's the bait. And there's many that only finds out when it's too late. Amen. How many times has it happened that the dart has went through those that we know and we love in this world, and amen, they've left here. Amen. And they wasn't right with God. And amen, they planned on getting right, but they just never did because sin deceived them. The Bible talks about it, but amen, this morning I ask you just to stand with us this morning. I want you just, if you will, just to bow your head this morning in just a moment of silence, and we're going to wait. And if there be a prayer need this morning, if you have a need, I pray that you come and we'll pray with you, for you, whatever the need this morning. If it's salvation, amen, I pray you come. If you just need to come and pray, amen, we can do that. But we just ask you to obey God this morning. If God's spoken to your heart, if you have a need, while we wait just a minute this morning, as we just pray silently, if you have a need, I pray you come. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning that you have, Father, given us a remedy for this sin problem. Amen. That Jesus came to take our place, to be the sacrifice for our sins. I ask you to touch every heart and every need this morning. You've heard the request today. You see the hearts and the minds of those that's here, and you know where we are this morning. And I just ask you to minister accordingly. And Father, that you touch and you help each and every one, I pray. Thank you for your blessings. Now I ask you just to keep us as we go. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.